So there is a theme running through our first reading, our responsorial psalm, and our gospel today. God's mercy, his patience and forbearance to give us the chance to repent, and his willingness to forgive us when we do. God's refusal to weed out the weeds, which is to say the evildoers, isn't due to a lack of power, and it's not a failure of his justice. It's an expression of his mercy and his desire that all should come to repentance and be saved. He retains all of his power, and in the end, he will establish his justice. Our first reading from the Book of Wisdom tells us how God doesn't need to exercise his power to immediately condemn sinners and evildoers in order to prove to anybody that he's just. He knows he's just. And he doesn't need to demonstrate his power by immediately and harshly punishing sinners. He's all-powerful and he knows it. And that power manifests itself in everything that he does. Instead, he shows us mercy and gives us the chance to repent. And he does that in part as an example for us as to how we are supposed to be treating others. Now, in context, this part of the Book of Wisdom talks about how God was merciful and patient with the Canaanites, who, in case you didn't know, practiced orgies and child sacrifice as part of their worship of their pagan gods. And God gave them centuries to repent of this and change their ways until he finally brought the Hebrews in to punish them by driving them out of the land. Now we can take heart in this, and we should take heart in it, because our own society in many ways has turned away from God. And it practices child sacrifice of a different sort in the form of abortion. Roughly one out of every five children conceived in America today is sacrificed to abortion. Sacrificed so that we can live the lives of sexual license, material comfort and prosperity and success that our society seems to want to live. And we should take heart in God's patience and his mercy that he will give our society the chance to repent and change its ways, just like he did with the Canaanites. Our responsorial psalm continues with the theme of that how God is patient, kind, and merciful, how he gives people a chance to repent, and moreover, that he will forgive us. He will forgive us our sins. He will restore us to his friendship. And he will give us his strength if we do repent. Now, this isn't only true on a societal level, it's also true on an individual level. And he gives us the sacrament of confession in order to make it easy for us to know that we've been forgiven and to give us his grace to strengthen us so that, well, to help us keep from falling away again, even though we often do anyway. Our gospel reading is part of a number of parables that our Lord tells to show how the church is the kingdom of God on earth. Now, some might be tempted not to believe that because of the presence of sinners, hypocrites, and evildoers in the church, even among the clergy. But the parable of the weeds and the wheat, which is the one I want to focus on today, tells us why it is that God permits this. The point of the parable is to explain God's present tolerance for evil in the world and even in the church. He allows it to give the evildoers a chance to repent. And also, to judge and punish them immediately, right away, might be to condemn some who would repent if they were given more time to do so. As Jesus explains, if he pulls out the weeds right away, he might pull out some of the wheat along with the weeds. Now, many are scandalized by the presence of hypocrites and evildoers in the church. Some even leave the church over it. But this parable makes it clear that we shouldn't be surprised by it. This is God's mercy and forbearance in action, giving the evildoers a chance to repent. Jesus tells us this parable so that we're not shocked or scandalized by the presence of evildoers in the church. In fact, this parable is comforting, or it should be, because it shows us how God is a patient God and a merciful God. And it tells us why and how it is that in the world in general, and the church in particular, that there will be both the wicked and the righteous, and they'll both be present up until the end of time. Now, each of us is going to be judged individually at the end of our lives, but the final separation of the wicked and the righteous is not going to come until the end of time. And we should be thankful for God's tolerance for evil in the present and for his forbearance with us. We often tend to complain about the presence of weeds in the field, weeds in the church. We should face the fact that, let's face it, some of us might actually ourselves be the weeds. We're so quick to see the sins and the hypocrisies and the failings of others. But at the same time, we're so slow to see them in ourselves. And we are masters of self-justification and self-deception. God is giving us every chance to recognize our sins and to repent of them, to change from a weed into a stalk of wheat. Because unlike plants, we can do that. We can change. It's up to us. And God even gives us the help to do it in the form of his grace. All we have to do is choose to cooperate with the grace that God gives us. So let's be thankful that we have such a patient, loving, and merciful God, with a God of such clemency, no one should despair. May he make all of us into true wheat and gather us into his barn. But this parable also warns us about the reality of final judgment. As Jesus tells us, the harvest in the parable is an image of final judgment when God will judge the nations. Ultimately, God will impose his justice. Those who remain wheat will reap their reward. But those who choose to remain weeds will pay the price. Unfortunately, hell is a reality for those who choose to separate themselves from God. Or else Jesus is a liar. Hell is not just a theoretical possibility that no one is ever actually going to realize. And contrary to what you may have heard from some theologian, or even from some among the clergy, we do not have a reasonable hope that all will be saved. But at the same time, I want to emphasize that while hell is a punishment for unrepented sin, it's primarily a reality that we freely choose by virtue of the choices that we make in life to separate ourselves from God. So, saints and sinners will coexist together in the world and in the church until the end of time. Don't be shocked, surprised, or scandalized by it. Expect it. And don't be too hasty to judge or condemn others, just as God isn't hasty to judge and punish and condemn us. His forbearance is, as I said, meant to be an example for us in how we treat others. But that isn't to say that we shouldn't advocate for the truth and correct error. We should. Of course we should. And when you sin, as we all do, go to confession. Experience God's mercy, His forgiveness, and His grace. And finally, the way God treats evildoers and gives them a chance to repent should give us hope. He doesn't punish the wicked right away. He patiently bears with them. And that should, as I said, give us hope. Why? Why? Well, because if God gives that guy a chance to repent, if God can be so patient with that guy over there, well, then there's hope for me or for someone I love.